Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you have your Bibles tonight. Glory to God. If you don't, well, get your phone out, whatever you use. It's all right. I just like having my Bible, right? I just like having something I can write in, write down. And it's so cool how God speaks to you through His Word. It's so cool. I mean, when you're asking for direction, let me just give you a little testimony before we get started. You can find Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to kind of carry on. But I want to talk to you tonight about the new versus the old. The new versus the old. Do you know you're a new creature in Christ Jesus? The Bible says old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Well, if there was an old, we need to know what the old was. If there's a new, we need to know what the new is. Right? So that we can walk in the new rather than the old. Hallelujah. But this morning, I was in my devotional time and my phone lit up and it was a pastor from Uganda that was texting. It wasn't Bishop Frank, but it was another pastor that I met when I was over there. And it was really funny because he said, "When are you coming back to Uganda?" And he said, "Come, please, come. And I thought, well, you know, I'll pray about it. It's not that I wouldn't mind going. It's just, you know, it's a lot. And so as I was meditating and talking to the Lord this morning, he said, "Well, read Acts chapter 16. And so I thought, well, that's cool. I'll read that. And in Acts chapter 16 is where Paul said that they were prevented from going to this place. And they were prevented from going to Asia, but that they heard Macedonian calling them. And I went, "Oh God." You know, I'm not saying that's a confirmation that I'm going, but it's kind of like, okay, Lord, I'm going to set my mind toward it and ask you about it. But He's ever present. I mean, every time that I've needed, especially in desperate situations where I needed an answer from God or was going through something, if I'll talk to Him and listen, He'll lead me to a verse that confirms His direction. Amen. That's the power of His Word. And it's still as effective today as it's ever been, right? Hallelujah. I don't know if you get anything out of the Word when you read it, but I do. And I'm not saying that I always get goosebumps. I'm not saying that glory to God, I got this great revelation. But God speaks to me through His Word, and I know He does to all His believers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But let's go to Ephesians. Oh, glory to God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to start out with verse 23, and then we'll go back and read the rest that I want to read tonight. But it says, and we talked about this last week, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We're talking about renewing your mind. And what is your mind? I mean, what is he saying? Renew your mind, or renew the spirit of your mind. He's talking about how you think. Right? Because that's your... We have thoughts coming to our mind all the time, right? And from every direction. And thoughts from places that we didn't think about, you know, that might have happened 30 years ago. I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but you're in a situation and something happens and it takes you back to something else, right? It's a song maybe or an event. Or for Renita, it smells. I mean, when she was pregnant and morning sick with Michael, the person that we were living with at the time had this perfume that she wore. And so, Renita, anytime she smells anything close to that, it takes her back to, you know. But our mind is full of triggers. And God is saying, "Listen, I want to renovate your mind." Let me say that again. I want to renovate your mind. And we said this last week, but it bears repeating. If you do a renovation, you have to tear out what you don't want in there so that you can put in there what you want, right? Again, I gave the story of how in the old building we redid the sanctuary and I had to have one of those big dumpster things brought in. And here went here went the old stage, here went some other things, and by the time we got through tearing out, that dumpster was full of stuff that had to go out so that I could build back what I wanted there, right? So you have to, watch this, in renewal, you have to take out what doesn't belong. And so when we're talking about the old and the new, we've got to understand that God, and I love this, people say, well, God loves you just the way you are. That's very true. Absolutely 100% true. But He also loves you enough not to leave you that way. Right? I mean, it's His objective to get you thinking different. Right? So that we can fulfill His will. Glory to God. In fact, I was going to go there at the end, but I think we'll go there now. Let's go to Philippians. Hold your place there because we'll be right back. But go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. So again, the Apostle Paul's talking to the church. And this is the way I say it, and I believe it. If God was talking through the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi, He's talking to the church at Port Orchard. Amen. Right? And so He's speaking to us as we read this. And it will start out in verse 9. It says, therefore God has also highly exalted Him, talking about Jesus, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, in other words, therefore is therefore something, right? In other words, because Jesus did this, there's a corresponding thing that should require, that should happen, right? Based on what He just said, He's about to say something else. And so He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. Work out your own, and I like this, and some people say, well, we don't have to work for our salvation. It's a free gift from God. Yes, it is, but there's a part that we have to play, right, in walking it out, right? God has made us holy, and He's put us positionally with Him in Christ Jesus, but the Bible talks about sanctifying ourselves. In other words, setting ourselves apart for what God has for us. And I like this. It says, therefore, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I've got some notes there that salvation means the rescue here. It means safety. It means deliverer. It means health, salvation, saving. Watch this. He says, you work out your own salvation. Now watch this. I'm not talking about that we have the power for our own deliverance. I'm not saying that we have the power to get us right with God. But what I'm saying, because of what He did, we can put ourselves in a position to make that work for us in our lives, right? And I like this too, with fear and trembling. What do you mean fear and trembling? What do you mean by that? Well, I think it means exactly what it says. And fear means to honor, reverence, respect. Tremble means to shake in your boots. So work out or develop your own salvation with fear. Now, I love this definition, and I heard another man say it, and so it's not my own, but it's like, we don't fear God as if we're afraid of God, but our fear is that we are afraid of being apart from God.
right?
Okay, so it's our motivation is, I don't want to be away from God. I don't want to be away from His presence. I don't want to be away from Him speaking to me. I don't want to be away from His grace. I don't want to offend Him. I want to honor Him. I want to have His respect. And I want Him to be proud of me. Right? Now, let's go one more verse and let's look at this. Because this is really cool. If you look with me now. For it is God who works in us both to will and to do for His good pleasure. For it is God who works both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Now watch this. This is what I'm saying is that we work out our own salvation by putting ourselves in a position where God can work in us. Because it's God who does the work ultimately anyway. Right? I can't, I've tried, but I can't change myself by myself. Right? How many of you are, I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop thinking this. I'm going to. And then the alarm clock goes off, right? Right? And a new day comes. So it's like we're totally dependent on God, even in the process of walking out our salvation, right? But God wants us to understand and know and to be able to identify what's the old so that we can put on the new, right? And watch this. If we look at it from this standpoint, if we're constantly walking in the old way of thinking, it automatically keeps us out of the way that He wants us to think. Let me say that one more time, because the baby's distracting us. Watch this. Watch this. If I'm constantly thinking about the old, then what's happening is that I'm not thinking along with the new. Right? And watch this. God said in Isaiah, He said, "My thoughts are above your thoughts. My ways are above your ways." But the reality is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, He said, "I'm going away, but it's important that I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send you the Comforter. And the Comforter is not just going to be with you, He's going to be in you. And what He's going to do is reveal to you everything that the Father had intended for me for when I came, and what it would produce in you." So here's what I'm saying, is that we have to be in a position and positioned to hear. In other words, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you all the time. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you what the will of God is. And the way that we position ourselves to be at a place where He can is that we put our thoughts on Him and His way of doing things, right? So I said all that. Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to read a little bit out of this tonight. So let's look at verse 11. "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." In other words, and this is called the fivefold ministry and many other titles, but here's the deal, is that God put an anointing on certain ministry gifts, and their purpose is so that they can reveal the Word of God to people so that they can walk out and do what God wants them to do. Right? Really simple. We go a lot deeper into that. But for tonight, I think that suffices. Okay, look at, let's look at verse 12 again. "For the equipping of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure, the stature, or the fullness of Christ. Now, I don't believe that this means until we're all thinking and believing exactly the same thing, right? Or else, as far as I can see, there's no hope, right? There's just no hope. This church believes that. This church believes that. And we're all calling upon Jesus. And a church I grew up in said, boy, if you're not a part of this church, then you're on your way to hell. And even during that, I as a young kid, I said, wait a minute. They have Jesus. We have Jesus. That can't be right. Right? That can't be right. But what this is talking about is that the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to get us all where our minds are thinking the way that He thinks. And our unity comes from where we're putting our mind on Him. And watch that, not just putting our mind on Him, because that's not enough. It's when we find out His thoughts, then the fear of the Lord kicks in. And where the fear of the Lord kicks in, it's like, Lord, I would never do anything to offend You. And my motivation for my life is to do what You want me to do. So obedience is the absolute result of truly walking in the fear of the Lord. If you're not obedient to the Lord, if you're just doing your own thing and you're going, well, you know, that's the way it was back then, but we're now living in 2023 and, you know, things have progressed. And no. God hasn't changed, right? God hasn't changed. The message hasn't changed. His thinking, according to the Word of God, doesn't change. So what we have to do is we have to get back into the Word and make this our goal, this our guidepost, and not just talk about it, right? Not just talk about it, but live it. It's easy sometimes to talk about it. It's a lot harder to do it. But His Spirit is inside of us to do that. And then He put us together, right? Why do I need to go to church? It's just me and Jesus. Well, I'm sorry, but the body doesn't work that way. I can't say to my arm, listen, you're a little bit tired today. You stay home, and I'll go. I don't need you to drive. I can do it one-handed. In order for me to be someplace and for me to do something, all of me's got to go, right? And so it's the same way as we'll read here in a minute in Ephesians chapter 4. Watch this now. Verse 14 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You see, when you get your mind renewed or renovated to the way God thinks of you, then it's really hard to be deceived because the truth will expose the deception. You know, and I don't know any pastor that would ever say this, but well, let me just give you a real example that happened many years ago, and it was around this area too. In fact, it was over by SeaTac. There was a church, and in this church, they were a charismatic church. They were on fire for Jesus. It was coming out of the Jesus movement, but they got really spiritual, right? And they decided that they were going to be spiritual dancing. And in this spiritual dancing, God would reveal to them that His wife is now my spiritual dance partner. Right? And they got there somehow. It was goofy, but it went to all kinds of weird things, right? But if you had one iota of Bible knowledge, you would have looked at it and went, I don't think so. In fact, if you're going to continue going down that road, I'm out of here, right? Because I'm going to conform to His Word. I'm going to conform to His Word. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up. Everybody say, grow up. I think that it would be really good. I don't do this. But I think it would be really good in counseling people, you know, and they're talking to you and they're telling you, you know, all the things they're walking in the flesh, and they want to excuse the flesh that they're walking in. I think it'd be really good to say, just grow up. Grow up. Yeah, but she's doing this and he's doing that. And grow up. Grow up. Come on. Grow up. I have a friend who is with Jesus now, but he's a pastor. And he said, I didn't make a very good counselor, he said, because I'd tell him, just stop it. Knock it off. But there's a part of that where if you're violating the Word of God, that's the answer. Stop it. Yeah, but you don't understand my circumstance. I don't care. I care about you, but I don't care about your circumstances. What you need to do is grow up. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Listen, it's true, though. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do no matter what, because my worship is worthless without the obedience and conformity to your word. Right? I can come in and say, I love you, Lord, and it sounds really pretty, and see me swaying back and forth, and people go, oh, the anointing was on that. But if I'm not obedient on at home, then that I love you, Lord, no matter how it was anointed, is worthless to me, because I need to be in the place where I'm walking in the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But speaking the truth in love. How can you speak the truth in love if you don't know the truth? How can you speak the truth in love if you don't know the truth? And how can you speak the truth in love if you're not loving? You don't understand. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I you know. God understands. God wouldn't put me through this. Really? God put the Israelites through 40 years in the desert to try to get their character to change to where they'd finally believe him. And there was only two who would. And they're the only two that entered in to the promised land. Whole different story. Glory to God. Now watch this. Speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together by every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love. What's this saying? I need you to grow up. You need me to grow up so that we can accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. What does that mean? We've got to get out of our feelings and get into obedience and do what he wants us to do in love, whether we like it or not. Right? Why? Because he needs us to be at the place where we can take care of babies. It's the saddest thing sometimes to watch people try to take care of little kids who have no clue how to take care of themselves. Right? And what do they need to do? They need to grow up. They need to grow up and understand it's not all about you. Okay, all right. I'll quickly go on. Maybe. Hallelujah. Verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. We're talking about taking off the old and putting on the new. You can't think like you used to think and think that you're walking in the new. In other words, if I'm still thinking the same thoughts that I had before I got saved, and I'm still walking in that and meditating on that, then there's a good possibility that I won't be walking in the fullness of what God has done on the inside of me. I won't be walking out my own salvation in such a way that brings glory to him. Hallelujah. and the futility of their minds. You know, I used to think some weird things before I got saved, because I fed on weird things. Right? I watched weird things. I read weird things. I listened to weird things through teachers. See, anything that's contrary to what God says is futility. It's weird. It's not right. And so, but if I'm not careful and keeping myself abreast in His Word and knowing what He thinks, then it's real easy for me to go back into. And here's what the enemy will do. He says, well, that's okay. That's not so bad. That's not so bad. That's just a little bit is all right. You're not as bad as you used to be. I'm back into the futility of my thinking, and I have fed it so it's growing. That's how we backslide sometimes. Let me tell you this one story, and I think it's so good, and it's germane to what I'm thinking about. You know the name if I said it, but he was a famous preacher. But he started to think he was all that. He said, I've never lost the love of God in my heart, love for Jesus. But I started to listen to what people were saying to me about me, and I started to get this pride thing going on, and people telling me what I deserved and how I should, you know, and blah, 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 and you know, how special he was because of the anointing that was on his life. And he got really messed up in that, and because of that, fell into some sin that eventually ended up in jail. Shipwrecked, right? Because he didn't keep his mind in the Word of God, where it says you better not think of yourself any more highly than you ought to think, right? He didn't keep himself submitted to that. And watch this. Somebody interviewed him, and they said, well, when did you fall out of love with Jesus? This was his response. I never fell out of love with Jesus, but I stopped fearing him. I stopped being afraid of being apart from him. That's powerful. That's powerful. And putting it up to my own heart, it's like, okay, Lord, I can see periods of time where I've allowed myself to get that way because I've not thought according to what you are thinking. See, so we got to identify what the old is, and then identify what the new is, and make a determination in our hearts and our lives that I'm going to quit thinking this no matter what, right? Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 18 says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, I want to go back up to verse 17 where it says, therefore, I testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk. He wouldn't have said that if it was impossible. Right? He wouldn't have said that if, well, you're saved, you'll never walk like that again. He said that because it's possible that you can, and you better be on guard because it says that futility can come to your mind, right? And then verse 18, having their understanding darkened. You know, deception can take you away from God. God says to love your neighbor, and you go, yes, God, but you don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand. God, I'm justified. I'm justified. Lord, I know that if you were here, you'd strike them down dead. I know it because they did that to me, your son. They did that to me. And see, what I've just done is I went back to my old way of thinking, and didn't keep God's way of thinking in the proper order. You see what I'm saying? And doing that, you begin to justify it in your mind. And what that causes is it causes ignorance because we're not fully convinced of what he said, right? And that puts blindness in our hearts. There's a whole lot of people that say, well, you know, it's the 21st century, you know, whatever we are at. It's 2023. And it's all right. I mean, everything is okay. I had a Christian gal in my office. She said this statement to me. And I mean, this was not a young believer that had. She was through Bible school. She went through all kinds of things. And we were talking about something, and she was entering into a new relationship with somebody. And she goes, oh, my God, I would never marry somebody that I hadn't slept with. What? Well, yeah, you know, you have to be able to try it on before, you know, see if it's... It's like, I mean, that's funny, but it's not. It speaks to even our own heart condition when we're putting up with something that we shouldn't put up with. Because culturally it says, well, you know, it's not so bad. Grow up. Grow up, get back into the Word and put your mind back into what God says and come to the realization that you better have this as your final authority. And if it says yay, it's yay. And if it says it's nay, it's nay. There is no gray area. It's black and white where my heart is concerned. Because if it's not, then I'll get back into the futility of my mind and I'll walk back into a way that I don't need to walk in. You getting me here? Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, what we want, here's what we want. God, I want to have an experience with you. Would you come down, fill my room with angels, and just somehow zap me so that I can know that everything's all right and that I'm with you. And I'm not against experiences, right? God, I'm not, if you want to send angels down, if you want to fill this room with angels and we have a demonstration, I'm great with that. But the Bible says that even the devil comes as an angel of light, right? And God is not worried, watch this. God isn't concerned with your gifting. Well, man, you preach good today. God's not concerned with that. God's not, you know, well, man, you're a really gifted singer. Well, God's not really concerned with that. Why? Because he gave that to you. He gave you the ability to do that. You know what he's concerned with? He's concerned with your character. Not you being a character, but your character. Right? Have you read in Proverbs what he hates? Right in Proverbs chapter 6, there's a list of six things he hates. Seven things are an abomination to him. It's like we get that into our hearts and our minds and say, well, if that's an abomination to him, I want to have no part of it. Hallelujah. All right, I haven't even got to where I want to start. But anyway, who being, verse 19, past their feelings, have given themselves over to lewdness and work of all uncleanliness with greediness. We see that every day today, don't we? I mean, as a nation, we see the turn that we've made, and now it's like you can't even watch the news anymore because it's lewd. It's lewd, right? And watch this, though, that I can't get too prideful in that, boy, I'm glad I'm not like them. I'm exactly like them. And my thinking, if I'm not careful, can be exactly like that. I can compromise everything. But the Bible says don't do that because that's not who you are anymore. That's not who I am. verse 19 again, who, being past feelings, have given themselves over to lewdness and work all uncleanliness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. That's not who you are. That's not what you were taught. That's not what God spoke to you. That's not the work that God did in you. Hello? That's not me. That's not me. You know who I am? I'm a born-again Christian filled with the Spirit of God, the one who's made me righteous. I'm the one who is holy because He's made me holy. I have the mind of Christ on the inside of me, but that doesn't make me give me the ability to just go do anything I want. What that requires of me is that I become a bond slave of Him. What does that mean? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go do this. I don't want to, but yes, sir. Right? Love that person. I don't want to, but yes, sir. Give that person $100. I don't want to, but yes, sir. Right? Come on. That's what we're talking about, is fully developed into Him. But we've not learned those other things. Verse 21. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth that is in Jesus. Now, how many know that there are people who aren't even born again that are quoting Jesus and trying to get us to acquiesce to Him? Well, you know, Jesus loved everybody. He loved the sinners, and He, you know, He would just, if Jesus was here today, He'd be so tolerant and just love everybody. They haven't read the New Testament. They haven't read the Gospel. But, well, look at the woman, you know, she was caught in adultery, and they were going to stone her, and He sent them, you know, all away in shame. And He said, oh, He said, woman, where are your accusers? And they stopped. Because He said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, well, there's nobody here. He said, I don't condemn you either, but go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Over and over and over, He said, the kingdom of God is here and it's visited you. Your response must be repent and get your thinking in line with what He's thinking. You see, your measuring stick is not how much your neighbor is doing it, not how much your wife is doing it, not how much your pastor is doing it. Your measuring stick is what God said, what Jesus said. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Verse 32, that you have put off, everybody say put off. You put off. If you have your Bible tonight and you can write in it, you might put, I have put off. I will put off, and I'll continue to put off. Right? And I'll just give you this example. I don't know that much about this lifestyle, but I know a little bit about it. But in order to get into the Hell's Angels and wear their vest that's got their patch on the back, there's a whole process to get into it. You just don't go off the streets, well, I want to be one of you. You got to be a pledge and some other things and go through this lifestyle ritual, do certain things to get there, right? But once you put that vest on, it requires some things of you. And the reality of the way they talk about it, once you're in, you're never out. You know, it's kind of like the mob. The mob, you're in. The only way to get out is to be killed, to die. I mean, that's the only way. But say a Hell's Angel gets saved and they can't live that way any longer, they have to take the vest off. And they have to say, I am no longer this because Jesus has made me this. Right? Now, And that's what we're talking about. I'm putting off the former things, the way I used to think, the way I used to act, the way I used to behave according to my makeup. Because I've now put on His makeup. And verse 23 again says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Don't get it twisted. If you're not living righteous and holy, then you're not living in the new man. You're not living up to the standards that He wants you to live to. Now again, you can't do it on your own, so don't get that messed up either. It's only by His grace that I can. If I was angry, the only way that I can be delivered from that angry spirit is to be walking with Him on a consistent basis and saying, God, if that's the way You want me to be, I'm going to change who I was to who I am in You. Right? Come on. He gives us the power to do it, but we've got to walk in it. In fact, the Bible says because of the blood of Jesus, sin no longer has reign over you. But you've got to walk in light of what He's saying. Again, verse 24, that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away, everybody say putting away. You have to, I have to put away lying. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. How many want your faith to grow? Yeah. Right? Your faith can only grow as you believe God and believe His Word. But you can't trust God and His Word if you aren't a man of your word or a woman of your word. And if we'll watch what we think and watch what we say, and we'll only allow ourselves to say what God says, it'll change the way we talk to other people. Right? Is that hard? It's so hard. But it's a process of meditating on what He says, telling yourself, no, that's not who you are anymore. That's not the way you think anymore. That's not the way you act anymore. And you get the Scriptures into your heart, and then you begin to act on what the Scriptures say. Yeah. Hallelujah. Meditating on them. Years ago, and many of you have heard this story before, but I have the mic so I can tell it again. But I used to be one that was just like everybody else at work, you know, I'd always talk about how bad the other people were. Because if I did that, it made me look better. And I worked at a shop that had three shifts. And, of course, the shift that I worked on was the best shift. And I could tell you what the other two were doing wrong, right? I mean, that's just the way that our conversation was going. So I was working this one night, and never forget it. I'd been meditating on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and specifically that love believes the best of every person. That was in my heart and just coming and starting to grab a hold of my heart. And the person that I was working with started talking about Bob. And that was his name, Bob. And started talking about some of his stories and everything. And I started to say something, and I'm telling you, the meditation of my heart on the Word of God put a rope around my tongue, and I had to pull it back in because the Spirit of God was saying, believe the best about Bob. You see, I have to put off the way I used to think and put that in line with what the Word of God says and let the Word of God change how I talk, how I act, how I walk. Are you with me? How I think. How I feel. I have to let the Word of God change how I feel. Oh, no, you can't do that. Yes, you can. Absolutely you can. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Do not be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, deal with your emotions when you're having your emotions, and don't let your emotions dictate your thinking. Take your emotions to God, and if the emotion needs to be spoken in reality to somebody else, say it in a way that's loving, that's not all about you, but that's concerned about the situation. I don't need to be right for you to be in unity with me, but I need to be in love, and there's something here we need to talk about, but it's out of a motivation of love, not a motivation of inconvenience for me. Watch this. Or give place to the devil. Or give place to the devil. How many of us are giving place to the devil all the time? All the time, we don't even realize it. We don't even realize it. How are we doing that? Again, we're going to go on. In verse 31, it says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." If we're involved with bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, that's gossip, then we're giving place to the devil. Did you know the Bible says that where there's strife, there's every evil work? That means if you're allowing strife in your heart and in your home, you can't be in control of other people. And if they want to be in strife, that's okay. But for you and your heart, you have to determine, I will not walk in strife with anybody because my door is closed to the devil. And in that, I'm closed to my old way of thinking. I'm closed to my old way of life. I'm going to walk in the newness of life. Right? How many want everything that God has for you? Right? Then we have to come to grips with what I'm talking about tonight and rehearse that to us. Go over what is the work of the flesh and determine I'm not going to walk in the flesh anymore. Right? You can go to Galatians chapter 5 and look at the fruit the attributes of the flesh, and then you can get into the attributes of the Spirit and decide with yourself, if I want to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, then I have to recognize what the fruit of the flesh is and denounce it and not walk in it, right? I have to put that old off because I want to be in the place where God can slip on the new. And watch that. When I allow that process to happen, then I'm working out my salvation out of a motivation of wanting to be right where God wants me to be. I don't ever want to disappoint you. Some of my prayer time is like this. And I understand who I am in Christ. I understand what He's done for me. I understand the work that He's done in me. But watch this. Watch this. Listen, don't miss this. It's kind of like, Lord, I've heard you say to me that you're proud of me. I've heard you say that you love me, but I know me, and I really don't understand how that's possible. Why? Because I'm not everything that I need to be. I'm not everything that I want to be. I'm not always the person that's got everything together, and I fall so short. But I believe the Lord is like this. He's like the little boy that's trying to learn how to play baseball, and he's striking out all the time. But the dad's saying, you got closer today. Keep at it. Keep going. Don't stop. Get up to bat one more time. I'm there with you. I'm going to be in the crowd yelling for you. I'm it, because I want you to walk like I've made you to be and not let the devil keep running over you. So we have to understand what the old is, understand what the new is, and put that off and run to this. Amen? Did you get anything tonight? Hallelujah. Let's pray. I believe. Now here's what I believe. That I believe that the church, and I'm not talking about this church necessarily exclusively, but this church is included. We are about to run into the greatest move of God that's ever been in the history of mankind. But it's going to be perpetuated by people who fall back under the fear of God. And their motivation is to obey Him at all costs. And that has to be us tonight. Everybody that's watching online, that has to be us tonight. It's really amazing, and I'm thrilled that you watch online. And you know, sometimes I'll look at Facebook and it'll be this many views or that many views, and I think, well, not too many people were watching online. But then you go to YouTube, and then I'll hear from somebody that I haven't heard from for a long time. Well, I watched the other night when you were on, but they didn't mention anything, right? They didn't post anything. So it's amazing how God is using this, and we're appreciative of that. But if you're watching online, again, I appreciate you watching. But I want you to know that God has a great plan for you. God has a great plan for all of us. But He needs us to recognize that He's in charge and we're not. And we need to put off those things that are keeping us back. And Paul said it this way, I'm forgetting the things that lie behind, and I'm pressing forward to the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. So let's press on tonight. Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your word tonight. I thank You for everybody that's been listening. I ask You, God, just to touch those that are watching online, whether they're in Texas or they're in Oklahoma or they're in Germany. We've had people watch from Germany and even people from Uganda. Lord, I thank You for them, and I ask You to touch them right where they are. And Lord, I ask You to help us to understand and reveal to us the absolute gain that there is in walking in Your ways. We love You tonight, Lord. We give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.